Why do you think, here's another question. Why do you think there's not more pushback on insurance companies when they deny so many claims without an attorney? Can you expose some of the evil ways of dealing with the insurance companies? Let me take a turn and go first with this. Or is it your turn? I don't want to be hogging the mic.
It doesn't matter. You can go ahead if you want.
So there is pushback, but by lawyers, and when you get injured, there are, but in the media, there isn't, because the insurance companies just say, we're looking out for our shareholders and we're not paying frivolous claims. I remember when George Bush was running for president, he would say, people are paying all this money to settle frivolous medical malpractice claims. And I'm going, medical malpractice claims are the hardest defended cases. No one's paying frivolous money to these cases. Are you kidding me? And so there is pushback by us as lawyers, because we know the market and we know what cases should settle for what money. And it really is aggravating to me as a lawyer when a client has to wait another year because the insurance company is fighting them so hard, and we settle the case for the money we should have gotten a year ago. And we're doing it on the eve of trial when they should have done that earlier. So that's really frustrating, because our clients, Stephen and I's clients, take significant financial hits, both in terms of medical expenses, losing their job, that kind of stuff. I counsel clients all the time about, listen, you may need to get a different apartment. You may need to move. I have literally today, Stephen, I had emails from bankruptcy trustees for two of my clients who I had to email back and say, I'm sorry, but we're gonna protect this asset in bankruptcy. And then to the second part of the question, can you expose some of the evil ways of dealing with insurance companies? Yeah. So if you're settling a case on your own and you don't call a lawyer yet, that's fine. If you've got like an ER visit, and maybe you put your more money in your pocket without me or Steven, but they'll do things like, they'll say you were comparatively at fault when you weren't. They'll say things like, we don't have to pay for your medical because you had health insurance. We don't have to pay for your wage loss because you had used vacation pay from your work. All those are not true. They'll say things like, we don't have to pay for, you only get your, you, we don't have to pay for chiropractic treatment because we don't believe it. They'll say things like, oh, it was just a small fender bender. You didn't have enough damage to warrant damages, so we're not going to pay you. They'll say things like, we're only going to allow 2 months of treatment. We're not going to allow anything beyond that because that's not justified by the injury, or that kind of stuff. They'll do things like say, lawyers are going to take all your money and a fee and stuff, so you're going to put less money in your pocket when you're going to lawyers. All those are untrue.
Bill consistently with other medical providers in the area. That's one I see pretty frequently, which I think is very misleading because I don't know if any insurance company has that data to know exactly what is being billed in specific area specifically. I think that's just somewhat of a lame argument used to try to devalue care.
And us as lawyers handle that for our clients, not the insurance company for the opposing party. At the end of a case, I reduce liens by providers. If I have a provider who charged $10,000 for an injection, I call them up. I say, that's not fair. We're going to reduce that. And I work very aggressively to reduce the liens to what is a fair market value. And I have ways to knowing that. Like I use healthcare insurance, not auto insurance, healthcare insurance information, payment, reimbursement rates, that kind of stuff to get a fair price. Stephen, I'll throw it to you again. What are the other scams or evil things insurance companies say?
I think the most evil thing an insurance company does to someone who's just been in an accident is that they will try to get that person to settle their case very quickly before they hire a lawyer and before they really even know how injured they are. I had someone call me a few years ago, and I'll never forget it. This poor girl was 19 years old, was a passenger in a car with the driver, was a drunk driver. He rolled the car several times. She broke her hip and had a broken knee. And she was calling me to ask about something unrelated to the car accident, because she had already settled a car accident case for $500 and a promise to pay the medical bills later on. But she hadn't fully healed yet. She hadn't gone to physical therapy. She didn't really know what would happen. But she essentially was taken advantage of, because $500 seemed like a lot for that moment, you know, and she needed $500, you know, to get through the next few weeks. So she took it. I think that's the most evil thing that insurance companies do, to aggressively deal with unrepresented individuals and get them to settle their case for pennies on the dollar. You know, not every case is worth a lot of money necessarily, but I think if you're injured and you don't know how soon this problem will resolve itself, you certainly should never just take the insurance company's first offer, because they know they can get a certain percentage of people to settle good cases for a fraction of the value.
Yeah, let me echo what you let me echo that a little bit. And that, yeah, so they have their they've done the math on it, and so they have aggressive ways of contacting people who are recently in accidents, throwing a couple grand over their known medical bills at them, trying to get things done quickly. And they'll say, you need to get done by 5 o'clock today. We need to get this done. Da, 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 da. We're going to come in. We're going to investigate. We're going to do this and this. Don't go to a lawyer. And they try to keep it in house or it without, they try to control it. And when they're doing that, they're trying to underpay people, because people don't, in terms of the medicine and the injuries, no one is going a day after an auto accident and getting an MRI, or finding out that they need neck surgery later, or finding out that there's really a fracture in their vertebrae, even though it's non-displaced now, or that, and I can tell you, and I know you gave an example. I have examples too, when people have settled these cases and done this. The other thing is, I literally have a case right now, Stephen, where I have filed suit where they had my client sign a release for under $1,000. And this person has significant problems, and they thought it was for property damage only. They'll say it's for property damage. And you're nodding, you've seen that. And then now what I did in that case, they sent me the release, and I said, that's fine. You sent me the release. You say it's signed. You say you sent him a check. Send me a signed release. There is no signed release. There's a release, but they didn't, and they sent them a check. And then I said, show me on the check where it says accord and satisfaction. And it didn't say that. So we filed suit in the case, and we're fighting it. And remember, folks, that a release or settlement is an affirmative defense to a case. And you can challenge a release or a contract and set it aside for fraud. And I've done that too. Fraud and misrepresentation, because there's a duty in contracts to add in good faith and deal fairly. And you shouldn't make misrepresentations to get someone to settle a case in a release contract any more than it'd be fair for me to lie to you about how bad my car is and sell you a lemon. It just, you can't do that. There's laws to protect it. There's consumer fraud laws to protect that. You can have a Missouri Merchandising Practices Act case against that. So you hit the major one. Thank you, Stephen, for saying that, because you hit the major one in this. Quick, let's settle early. They are setting you up. If they wanted to be fair to you, they'd say, you know what? You wait. Make sure you don't need more medical care. Make sure you're all taken care of. You know, what if you get fired from your job because of this? And then you have another 20 grand in wage loss damages. There's a whole cascading things that happen after a bad wreck that where people shouldn't rush out and settle these cases.
I think the perception that all lawsuits are frivolous that has kind of come about since, I guess, the 90s or whenever the tort reform really picked up steam, has hurt, or I guess it's helped insurance companies, but it's hurt people in their actual situations, because they think, well, I don't want to talk to a lawyer and discuss my problems, because that would be frivolous for me to do so, or that would be, you know, encouraging the system where you get money for something you don't need. And I think that people have to realize that personal injury lawyers exist for a reason. And that's to help you in that situation, because people are actually hurt. You know, there's a small, small percentage of, you know, like any industry where people do things for illegitimate reasons. I think the perception in our industry especially is that that percentage is much higher than it is. So I think the tort reform
It's unfounded. And I sorry, go ahead, Stephen.
Oh no, that's kind of all I had for that. Although I did want to say one thing about the release. In your case, did they get a oral release of claims, like over the phone?
Written.
I had to fight Well, you said it was written,
but it wasn't signed. An oral release isn't binding.
I've had some insurance companies fight me on that recently, and I've been able to get them to, you know, to overturn the decision. But there is case law out there that says that it maybe is.
Well, no, it's a statute of frauds issue. And you can compel a settlement. Sometimes you can, but if you could show it's a statute of frauds or there was not a meeting of the minds, it's a harder to show under an oral contract to the meeting of minds. You get your client to say, I just was settling property damage. I didn't know this. I didn't know that. And then a judge will not do it. So even lawyer to lawyer, it's really hard to enforce an oral settlement. So if I find, because it's hard. I mean, unless the other side says, yeah, we had a deal. So I would fight those if it's worth